Technorama episode 477, Ladies Night.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hi, I heard it's Ladies Night at Technorama and they require a special passphrase. What is it?
Over there, in the media corner.
Oh, like I couldn't have guessed that.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am not talking at double speed yet, so if you're listening at double speed, good luck to you.
Right.
Joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great. Actually, I was looking forward to hearing some Cool in the Gang when you start said the title.
Yes, it's Ladies Night.
What a night.
Yeah.
We're going to go. It's Ladies Night. I went. That's exactly where I went.
The reason it's Ladies Night is because we have a lot of new voices, guests in the studio. They were in town for Jack Mangan's wedding, Jack and Tiffany's wedding. I shouldn't leave out Tiffany. A very important part of the marriage ceremony. And these are deadpan fans. So along with stealing a lot of Slice contributions in this show, we also borrowed Jack's fans. Yeah. Joining us this week is
Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador.
Welcome, Amy. Also sitting next to Amy,
Cynthia Fry, a.k.a. Sinful.
All right. Thank you, Sinful. That sounds like we're going to get in trouble with this.
You might.
Hey, baby.
And with the coolest British accent ever,
Vanamond.
Is Van your first name?
Yeah.
We're just going with that. It's like Ditto. Yeah, it's not Ditto. On his Ditto. Birth certificate, but. Mm-hmm.
I thought he said Vagabond.
Yeah. Well, that as well.
And a voice you may have heard on other podcasts.
CJ, formerly of the Love, Long, and Prosper podcast and the Mighty Mommy podcast.
And Mighty Mommy was part of Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips network at one point.
Yeah, there is still a Mighty Mommy. It's just not me anymore.
Oh, you've handed out your Mighty Mommy reign.
I did.
With the diaper bag. What do you hand off with?
My time. That's what I handed off.
Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, I understand that.
All right. We also have a clip from Jack. You know what? I'm going to save that for the feedback section because we have Jack's clip and Tiffany's clip. We did a little interview because they can't join us. They are either in Hawaii or on their way to Hawaii. By the time this airs, they will definitely be in Hawaii. So we're going to take a quick break and come right back. Coming up in this episode, we have Wipe Your Hard Drive, Russian Batman, and the Flopatron. Stick around, you want to hear all that.
I programmed on one of those ones.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
This is Richard Garriott,
Lord British,
private space explorer. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Chuck and Craig at Technorama.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
What is a public space?
What do you mean a public space? Where? What are you talking about?
Well, Lord British there, he said a private space explorer. What's a public one?
A public space would be something where you grant all your friends and their friends and every. You don't have to be a. It's like Facebook.
Okay. That's your public space. Okay.
Yes. You get it now?
Sure. Whatever.
We have a little bit of feedback. We don't have any feedback from any listeners. So if you want to get in touch with us, we do?
No. Before the feedback.
Holding out on me? What do you got?
Jack's clip, Tiffany's clip.
Right, that's our feedback.
Okay.
We have here. To we have to play the lovely listener music.
It's cut and paste. There you go.
He's switching the show notes around on us.
Hey.
Sing along. Letters.
Letters.
Oh, we got letters.
Letters. Letters. And we get more letters, and we don't sing along all the way. Trainees.
Yeah, did three. I was going to say the same thing.
Craig and I have been working together too long. And if you want to get in touch with us, call us on the listener line 707-530-CHAT 707-530-2428.
Call the listener line 5.
Yep. 0800-991-8. This is what I got from Jack Mangan last night at his wedding during the reception. We had a brief moment where I was looking for Jack and he kind of disappeared from the hall and tracked him down in the parking lot. So I said, Jack, quick
don't
interview.
Leave. It's okay. You get cold feet.
He told me if I don't get some, I have to go inside and get some signatures. Otherwise, if I don't, this is just one big expensive party.
Hello, Technorama listener. This is Chuck. I am here with the newly married Jack Mangan. Jack, how are you?
I am newly married, as you say. Yes.
How's married life treating you so far?
So far, it's been a lot of fun. I expect it to be this fun and rambunctious every minute from now on.
You're going to have a food truck outside of your house.
Right, exactly. Right, and loud dance music, and all my best friends and family around, yes.
Well, congratulations to you and Tiffany.
Thank you so much.
That would
Thank
be
you
awesome.
So much for being part of this, you and Donna and everyone. So many people from Technorama are here. I'm floored. Thank you.
If there are people saying hi, I don't know who they are. It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. And congratulations one more time. I have to admit, I did get a bit misty when I saw you and Sophie dancing. She's just adorable. And I miss that age with my girls. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Oh, yeah. No, she's amazing. Both my kids are amazing people. And it's been so much fun tonight. And you're right. I mean, she's, you know, the way that she was doing the dancing and the performing, and she's unbelievable.
Yeah, Hayden was a lot of fun at the card game this afternoon. He's great, too. You've got a great family. I wish you and Tiffany years of happiness to come.
Thank you, Chuck, and same wishes to you. Although you've had many years of happiness and a great family, so
we're old.
More of the same.
All right, let's see if you can catch up to us.
All right, yes.
All right, one final question.
Yes, sir.
What is your favorite memory, you and Tiffany, of Technorama?
Our favorite memory, Technorama. Well, for Tiffany and myself, would probably be, I'd say probably the first time that she and I were on a show together, and the both of us reading, completely bungling and reading the news. I think that would probably be my personal favorite of the two of us on Technorama. I have lots of great memories of Technorama, but I think for the two of us, yeah, that's definitely it.
What was your first memory of Technorama?
My first memory of Technorama actually predates meeting you and Craig in person with T. Morris, but it actually just my first memory of Technorama was playing your guys' promos. Not before I even knew you guys, or before I was really greatly familiar with your show, I was playing your promos on Deadpan, and just really cracking up, like putting these things in, and like the Geico. I know you're going way back. Geico Insurance was so funny. So I mean, just
I remember
stuff.
That promo. That
been
was funny.
Doing a great job for longer than I was ever in the game. So I'm, you know, my hat's off to you guys as podcasters. So
I tell you, my first memory of you is we were walking down the strip in Vegas, and I hear Chuck. From this was at the Podcast Expo in 2008 when it was in Vegas. I turn around and there's Jack Mangan. Out of the crowd, just didn't know. That was amazing that you were able to spot us.
Right? Yeah, I do remember that. I remember that was a great time, that expo. Yeah, I remember, and we were also there with T, and Pip was there, and just a lot of the great people from the old days of podcasting. That was a good time. That was a really good time.
Well, we're trying to capture that again someday.
Right. Yes.
Thank you, and
yes.
Congratulations again.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. Thanks so much, and thank you, Technorama.
You're welcome.
Would you like to hear Tiffany's comments? They're much shorter.
She has no fond memories.
She has background music because we were standing right next to one of the amps indoors.
And now a few words from the new Mrs. Tiffany Mangan for our Technorama listeners. Tiffany, congratulations to you and Jack.
Thanks.
We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
She sounds so happy.
To Hawaii.
I cannot wait to get on that plane to Hawaii.
It's in a few hours. You'll be flying there by the time we even start recording this show. You'll probably be landed by the time we're... So, congratulations.
Thank you.
You have a terrific family.
Yes. I was like getting choked up by seeing Sophie and Hayden, and oh, they just look so good today. I had a great time.
I'm sure you will be a great mom to them in the years to come.
I hope so.
And from us old experienced, old married people, we wish you the best.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right, CJ, what was your favorite part of the wedding reception the whole weekend?
Oh, my gosh. You just put me totally on the spot.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, I mean, Jack singing.
That was,
I mean, he pulled out a guitar and he sang it to everybody. Wait. I mean, he sang to Tiffany, but he was there singing, and I haven't gotten to see that in so long.
And he sang.
He pulls out an acoustic guitar and sings her a song that he wrote.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you didn't record? Way to go, Chuck.
It's on the Facebook Live.
I was standing in the wedding party, dude. It's like, not like I can just walk up to him with a microphone.
You've done it before.
During a wedding. Hold on, Jack. Start over.
Just kind of lean over with, I'll go look at the at their site, their page.
That was a memorable moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dan Charette was the officiator, and he Facebook Live the whole thing from his Facebook page, so you can see it there.
There is a stream you can go watch, Craig.
Yes.
I'll see if I can find it. Is it on the Jack and Tiffany page?
It should be. It should be shared there.
Okay. I'll look for it.
Van, memories?
It was just nice to see everybody again, because, you know, I come here once a year, and it was just nice to see everyone again. And it was a real great night. So, yeah.
It was great to see you too, Van.
He's kidding. He really just liked the ice cream.
Yeah. And the beer. You know, yeah.
We've been giving him American craft beer.
Yeah, he liked a beer.
He's not going home.
He's gonna stay there, sleep on the floor in the studio.
He may need to.
There's no one in the guest house. There's plenty of room. Cynthia.
Just seeing the deadpan community as well. Like you said, we get together once a year at most. Some of us haven't seen each other for 2, 3, 4 years. So it's really good seeing people that you have a tight bond online with.
Mm-hmm. I think that is so cool. Craig, why don't we have a meetup?
We can.
I guess Dragon Con is kind of our meetup, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle comes from Hawaii.
Yeah, we do our live show there. Yeah.
And we hope we're doing another one this year.
No, we are. Just where? I don't know.
That's true. We started in meager hotel rooms.
Don't start spreading vicious rumors. We are doing
a
show.
If we're not in Hilton 204 again, we are doing a show somewhere.
Yeah, just stay tuned for that.
It's going to be like a flash mob. It's going to be a flash Technorama mob.
A flash podcast.
Then we have to wear our shirts with a little lightning bolt on them, right?
Yeah. Right.
We're not leaving Amy out. Amy? Oh,
thank you. I absolutely agree. It's been absolutely wonderful to see this whole deadpan community in person again. There's just so much love in this room. Not just this one, but any room where all the deadpan folks. Yep, exactly.
Are we getting older?
Well, yes. But also, I agree
Especially Amy. Because she was so wee when I first met her. She was just so, she's a little girl.
Like 14 years old?
Kind of.
I was in college. Or I just graduated from college.
Wait, how old are you now?
I just turned 30.
Oh, get out.
Wow. I told you she was wee. Yeah.
Wee.
She's like our version of Steve Rickyberg. Yeah. I think he was like 17 when we met him.
And guess what? I still think of him as 17. He's like 30 now.
Amy's
or whatever.
The same way. She's just,
exactly.
She's going to be perpetually 22.
Okay. Yeah. I can live with that.
Can I have that too?
I absolutely agree with CJ. I loved that Jack sang Tiffany a song that he wrote as part of the wedding. I cried.
I don't know how she didn't cry, to be honest. That's what amazed me. She just stood there and smiled this big gleeful grin the whole way. It was fun to watch.
That wedding, whole ceremony, that was so them. It was so much a reflection of their personality. It was beautiful.
All right. I want to do one quick thank you. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your memories of the weekend. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a memorable time. If you want to go see it, what is it, Jack and Tiffany's wedding on Facebook?
They made an event, but I think it's only viewable to people who they invited to it.
All right. Send us a link. We'll invite you. We also had earlier this week, Laura Ross and her friend, Brianna. Yes, thank you. I had somebody else on the mind for a minute. She stopped by on Monday, July 4th.
What's Laura's last name?
Laura Burns. Did I say Ross?
Yes.
Laura Burns.
You just chopped it all up.
I'm doing great tonight, aren't I? And she gave me a NASA patch. Woo! And there is a tiny speck of space blanket right behind my head. I can go this way. That's what that copper color thing is.
Oh.
It's that multi-layer stuff they put on satellites, you know, when you see them wrapped in that goldish copper color foil. That's the stuff. It's really cool. We have more space.
So when you're cold outside, you can wrap yourself in that little
patch. In about an inch and a half square. My arm is cold. Move it to my cheek. That doesn't work so well. Okay, it's the time of show we all look forward to. It's the Roll for Initiative to do on this day in history.
Hold on.
Yes?
Okay.
You got your dice?
I'm warming up the dice.
Okay. Jack gave me a new set of dice for standing in the wedding. What a guy. So I'm loaning it to my guest. Okay.
I think I won.
Amy, what'd you get?
I haven't rolled yet. Should I go first?
I'll roll at the same time.
Go.
Oh, I got a 2.
I got a 91 on a D20. Oh, it's a 16.
Okay. I got a 20. I got a 20.
You got a natural 20.
Natural 20?
I did.
You going to roll for crit?
Wait.
What?
See if you killed anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, we never finished out our music. We'll finish out the music while we roll. Finish rolling on this end.
Okay. We can't
CJ, did you roll?
I don't. Oh.
We only have the one die on our side.
You're getting
the table.
Us confused again.
You got to share.
That's Cynthia. Cynthia. I don't have notes.
Damn it. Every
you want me to roll
time.
For you?
Just roll. Yeah.
Roll we for need me, CJ. Name tags.
You still got two at 6.
Yeah. She shouldn't have let me do that.
So CJ got a 6.
Van?
Oh, of course. Yes. Sorry.
You're holding the die. Just throw it.
5.
Did anybody pay attention to what order we're going
I
in?
I got 2.
Chuck, Craig.
Is it highest to
Chuck,
lowest?
Chuck, Craig, and then we'll go this way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And why are you going first?
CJ can't. No, you're going first. Craig, Chuck, and then we'll go this way. Okay. Unfortunately, CJ can't see the screen.
I can hand her the candle.
No, it's good.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll say stuff when I need to. Don't.
Let's begin the insanity.
Okay.
I think it's already begun.
On this day in history for July 16, 2016, this is the 195th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 171 days remaining in 2016. This date is slightly more likely to fall on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, which is 58 in 400 years each. Then Saturday and Sunday with 57 is slightly less likely to be on a Tuesday or Thursday at 56. Thank you, useless knowledge of Wikipedia.
Wow.
Craig, you're first.
Pull that off the top of your head. All right, it was on this date in 1919 that the British airship R-34 lands in Norfolk, England, completing the first airship return journey across the Atlantic in 82 hours of flight.
182 hours.
See, this is what you get. That same date in 1923, the Hollywood sign is officially dedicated in the hills above Hollywood, Los Angeles, California. It originally reads Hollywoodland, but the last four letters are dropped after the renovation in 1949. We think we should do the same thing with Graceland, Disneyland, and what other land? Finland. We're just going to call them Grace, Disney, and Finn.
Oh, sorry. Also today in 1973, Alexander Bunderfield reveals the existence of the Nixon tapes to the Special Senate Committee investigating the Watergate break-in.
39 years ago today in New York City, amidst a period of financial and social turmoil, experiences an electrical blackout lasting nearly 24 hours that leads to widespread fires and looting.
The 77 blackouts.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow.
Also today in 1985, the Live Aid Benefit Concert takes place in London and Philadelphia, as well as other venues such as Sydney and Moscow.
Quick, who is the artist who played in Philadelphia then, or was it played in Wembley and then went to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Was it Paul McCartney?
Phil Collins.
Oh, Phil Collins. Ah, right.
Yes, we're old enough to remember that.
Yeah.
Craig, it's your turn. Start the birthdays.
And happy birthday goes out on this day to English Welsh mathematician, astronomer, and astrologer John Dee, born on this date in 1527.
He got the name right. Yay! John Jacob Astor IV, American colonel and businessman, was born today in 1864. I believe he was the one that went down with the Titanic in 1912.
The man who played Colonel Hogan on Hogan's Hero, actor Bob Crane, was born today in 1928.
Good show. Canadian French astrophysicist and author Hubert Reeves is 84 today.
If he's French, would it be Hubert?
Yeah, it probably would be Hubert Reeves.
Maybe.
It's also the 82nd birthday of Russian engineer and astronaut Alexei Yeliseyev.
Yay! She did the Russian.
I did my best.
We don't have to deal with it, right? Should be easy from here on out.
Yes, and Star Trek's, we have a birthday. It's Sir Patrick Stewart. He's 76.
Is it Patrick Stewart?
Stewart.
Oh, would that be Sean Connery?
I was going to say, that sounds like Sean Connery.
There's not a big distance between Patrick Stewart and Sean Connery.
No, there's not.
That's a matter of opinion.
Yeah. That was our Star Trek birthday. Our Star Wars birthday is Harrison Ford is 74. Hey, that rhymes. But just this year.
The man who consumed too much of my younger years because he invented a silly-colored cube which bears his name, Erno Rubik, is 72.
The Rubik's Cube.
Yep.
Raise your hand if you had a Rubik's Cube. Raise your hand if you can still solve the Rubik's Cube. Yeah, that
maybe
information got purged. Actually,
I'm actually scratching my head.
Just pulling off the stickers and putting them back on again.
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good time. I mean, it was no world record-setting thing. Anyway, let's move on.
Cheech Marin is 70.
Dave's not here, man.
And our final celebrity birthday goes out to astronomer and astronaut George Nelson, who turned 66.
Yay!
Hey, for what it's worth, one of my best friend's daughters turned 14 today, and she said she's going to listen to this, so...
Oh. I thought you were going to say her name is George Nelson.
No!
And oddly enough, her name is George Nelson.
Now I feel like I should just give a little shout-out, because, you know, I'm here, and it's her birthday.
My brain was so wanting to connect those dots.
So can I say happy birthday to Emma?
Happy birthday, Emma.
She's 14. Happy birthday,
Emma. On the 16th or on the 10th?
Whenever today is.
Today is we're recording this on the 10th.
Wait,
but this is the episode for the 16th.
That's okay, though.
It's released on the
16th. I'm saying for reals, it's her birthday.
This should be for the 13th.
Well,
all these events are wrong.
Well, I just threw everything off, didn't I?
The file name...
Wait, Harrison Ford's birthday is on the 13th.
Harrison
Ford's birthday should be every day for me.
You're right. Chuck, yeah, the file name says July 13th, but then at the header, the header for on this day says July 16th.
Oh,
so
you don't
they don't
know
even
how
match.
We put these show notes together.
Actually, this is pretty close to accurate.
I'm sorry.
It is. I know that Harrison Ford's birthday is on the 13th. The typo is mine on the top. I don't know. 16th is Saturday. Anyway. Where were we and whose turn was it?
I just read the last one. It's back to you, Craig.
Bring in our listener birthday calendar.
All right. Or wait, where is it at?
On the bottom where it says for our wonderful listener birthday calendar.
Oh, yeah. That's where. Friend of the show and frequent Techorama guest, Ben Raggaton, is... I started to say what today? His birthday is today, July 13th.
He almost made it tonight, but had to back out at the last minute. Longtime listener Brian Witt's mom, Joan, she used to go to our church, is on the 14th.
Also on the 14th is Matthew Wayne Selznick.
Yay.
July 18th is Lord Dumicus.
And finally, another longtime friend of the show, Nikolai from the Dancing with Elephants podcast.
Yay! That's the way it was on this day for Technorama Birthday Calendar. If you want to be on the Technorama Birthday Calendar, wait, rewind the music a little bit. Okay, there, we cheated. Okay. If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. Don't forget, today is Embrace Your Geekness Day. Some people are ashamed of their inner geek. They are afraid to be stereotyped as antisocial. We're not speaking to anyone in this room.
Right.
They have an innate fear of fixing things for others. Well, that's just because your relatives ask you to keep fixing windows.
Yeah, I have a fear of that.
But on this day, you can cast away your fears and embrace your desire to defrag your computer drive. Who knows? By the end of the day, you too may have an appreciation for geek culture. That's
the
way it was.
Flag fly.
On this day in history for July 13th, 2006, Chuck had an editing problem on Saturday the 9th. Let the band play. We're at the end.
Hey, by the way, I keep thinking of Nikolai as probably like 36 now.
13. if I do my math correctly, and we will hear from him later when he was about 4. He made us a nice little audio clip.
That's right.
All right, we have good news. Let's do a good news.
Who likes good news, everyone? Then good news, everyone.
We have more fun with that than we should. Yes. All right, this is a story about a man who sent a weather balloon up in 2013 and lost track of it. It had a GoPro on it, and when he got it back recently, came back with some spectacular pictures of the Grand Canyon. They launched this thing about 20 miles east of the Grand Canyon, and there's a video that you can follow through the show note links. Isn't that a beautiful picture?
It is. Grand Canyon. I watched the video.
It is that little rift right in the upper left. Between the two green sections. It looks so small.
Hey, I watched the video, and the cell phone that they were using to track it, they put an app on it, thinking they'd be able to track it pretty easy enough, and they figured that where they thought it would land, they would have cell signal. Well,
oops.
They did. They did.
It went to 92,000 feet. I don't think there's cell signal up there.
No, when it comes back down. Yeah, no, AT&T does not reach up to this out of atmosphere, but anyway, it came back down. They couldn't find it, and then it took them about 2 years. Somebody found it, an AT&T employee.
Yeah,
oddly enough, because that's who they had signal, or they were hoping to have signal with. Anyway, so employee ended up getting their information off the SIM card, and contacting them and returning it.
This sounds vaguely familiar. Did we cover this a year or so ago?
No, this is a newer story.
It says September 11th. 10 months ago.
I don't know if we talked about this
on
one.
On the Imager link. This sounds really
familiar. We talked about other people sending balloons up, maybe. I don't think it's this one.
There's a lot of balloons that go up on a Saturday morning in Phoenix. They're hot air balloons. They carry people around.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys ever taken a hot air balloon ride?
No.
Yes.
Where have you been?
No.
I was in one of those balloons when I was about 10 years old.
In Phoenix?
In Scottsdale.
It's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
Did you have to get up at O Dark 30?
Yes, it was a race. I was actually in a balloon that was in a race.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. It was, and they have to like land as close to the X as they can. And it was pretty awesome. And then at the end, they dump champagne on your head, even though you're a child.
Awesome. We got to drink the champagne. I like that idea better.
Well, I was just like, what?
And landing one of those things is not like, you know, coming straight down and boom, we hit the X. It's kind of a drag operation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to get up at O Dark 30 and go hot air ballooning for my 30th birthday over in the open areas around Omaha. They canceled. Because you can't go if the wind is more than 10 miles an hour.
Right,
and
right.
It was that morning. Mm-hmm. My birthday's in April.
I'll have to get you back here sometime. There's a lot of good ballooning that goes on here.
Yeah.
I want to do it. I haven't seen one. I've never ridden one.
All right.
Technorama balloon meetup.
I think so.
There you go.
The Technorama Mile High Club.
I think that's something completely different. But,
No.
Is that a bad name to use? We're going to have t-shirts.
There better be a lot of champagne involved. There better be a lot of champagne involved.
A lot of champagne. So many more people on the wiki next time.
What, are we going to have like babies? Baby boom on the calendar?
Two people signing up. I was just thinking.
You know. 9 months later, there's a whole bunch of new names.
Oh, check it out.
What a strange coinkydink that was. We also have the story of a man who should have wiped his hard drive but didn't. Mm-hmm. Now, you're all familiar with the original Macintosh and the Macintosh SE and the old toaster shape, you know, little version. Well, think about the last time you bought something off of Craigslist. You know what? Anybody want to read this? Cynthia, you want to read the story?
No, but I have a funny story that Mike can...
Okay. Van?
Just read it.
You just read it.
Right. Think about the last time you bought something off Craigslist. Was it a computer? Did you happen to find anything ancient and awesome on it? Most might shudder to think what could be procured from older tech these days, but one redditor looked at when he purchased an old 1980s Macintosh SE to flip into the working computer. The buyer, Wow Bob Wow.
That's an online name. Wow Bob Wow.
Managed to uncover a seriously dated piece of X-rated software known as the Mac Playmate, created back in 1986 by artist and software designer Mike Sands. The game is billed as an interactive erotica, which isn't unfamiliar territory these days by any means, but extremely attention-grabbing back then, and quite a find for someone to actually accidentally happen upon. It starred Virtual Vixen Maxi. Can I just go now? Where the players could use a variety of sex toys and watch her interact with other characters in the steamy scenes. It's the infamous application was massively popular back when it was released, and for good reason. Its explicit nature caused its own share of controversy, but it's surprisingly free with the content and looks like an interesting alternative to run-of-the-mill porn, especially for its time. Want to mingle with Maxi? You can view an extremely not-safe-for-work demo here. This is the URL. If you so desire, or download Mac Playmate for yourself to give it a spin via the Mac repository to see how it holds up today.
I can't imagine because the old Macs were only black and white. Yes. And they didn't have the world's greatest resolution. Mm-mm. So, and I'm not even going to want to try and picture what was
going on. I'll tell you something. I'm an old Commodore 64. I remember having strip poker, and it was very much like this. And you're like, wow, look at that. And it's like, you know, very digital, you know, drawings of whatever. So
when I was a teenager, there was a game called Sextris.
Yes.
It was what you think of Tetris, but in various sexual positions, the males and females were. Yeah, and they made sounds as they landed.
Wow. What happened when a whole row disappeared?
There was very much a lot of noise.
That's funny.
Ow! That hurts.
Hey, that was an innocent game.
No, it was not an innocent game.
Not anymore.
Did they have that Russian music playing?
No, they had bad 70s porn music playing in the background.
It was more like, hey Chuck, it was more like wow, chicka bow, wow,
chicka
wow, bow, bow, chicka wow, 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 chicka wow, wow, wow.
It's like pixelated Leisure Suit Larry. You guys, Leisure Suit Larry had those scenes, like
yes.
And now we have, you know, Grand Theft Auto, which is way worse,
uh-huh,
and so much more accessible. They should pixelate that. They should just pixelate GTA.
Leisure Suit Larry was considered racy at the time. I think that's funny.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break. We'll be back with the second part of this show, where we have a computer guy who had to close his store, Richard Garriott, the man you heard of in the previous sweeper, tried to sell his blood on eBay and was pulled down, but we'll be back with that.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, now Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. He has a happy missus at the home, too. Technorama, for natural geek enhancement.
Hi, this is Nick White from Dad and His Elvins. And by the time I'm 18 years old, I'll need to know the binary language of moisture evaporators. Therefore, I listen to Technorama with your host, Chuck Tomasi, and Dwayne Stepp.
Hey, Chuck. Nikolai, how's that education going?
He's probably not. He's not far from 18 now.
My figures are about 13, so he's got a couple more years of high school left to get moisture evaporator binary language going.
Yeah,
they don't offer
this class at my school.
He's got to take it homeschooled on Tatooine. Right.
Tattooing.
But all my friends are going to Tashi Station.
Shut up, get to work.
We have to do the Hacks and Strange Stories thing.
Yep.
Hacks and Strange Stories. That's Lenny. Lenny Iserol. We looked up Iserol on the internet to see if it was a real drug. Because I was going to say, next time I go to my doctor's office, I'm going to say, hey, doctor, can I get some Iserol?
Get a prescription for it, even though it doesn't exist.
That's right.
Just ask him. I just want a prescription for it.
And he's going to look it up in his physician desk reference, and it's going to be, your uterus is inflamed?
That's right.
So, to let you know about Iserol, we have a character named Lenny on the show. Yeah, he makes an occasional appearance. And we were signing off on the show. We always sign off with a binary high five, 101. Well, we had an email from a listener, and he spelled the number one, and then Z-E-R-O, and then the number one. But the font it was in looked like it said Iserol. And we busted out laughing because it sounded like a medication for something.
Yeah.
So Lenny's last name became Lenny Iserol after that. And if you Google it, you will come across Lenny's blog on WordPress.com, which I used for screenshots while Craig and I were writing Teach Yourself WordPress in 10 Minutes book. So I needed some screenshots, but I didn't want to use my own. So Lenny made a blog, and now I keep getting these emails from various companies. Hey, Lenny, would you like to sign up for our service? You don't realize who Lenny is.
He needs to blog a little bit more. The last one was in 2009.
It's been since 2010.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. That's a story about a gentleman who owned a computer repair shop and had to close his business because his computers made him sick. 36-year-old Richard Kimberly of Kidderminster, Worcestershire. Did I do that poorly?
Worcestershire.
Well, the sauce we put on our
hamburgers. Worcestershire sauce.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, and I give my wife crap about not being able to say that, and I didn't even do it right. So, no more crap, honey. He's been
sure
running his
that.
CS Micros. I'm sorry. 28 years of... Anyway, he's been running his CS
Micros. On the webcam, my hand's going to come out and smack you in the hand.
Running his CS Micros computer repair business for the last 20 years, but he plans to close it down by July 22nd, claiming radiation signals from wireless technology have given him a rare condition known as electrohypersensitivity, or EHS. You know what this reminds me of? Anybody watch Better Call Saul?
Yes.
This is his brother Chuck right here.
I thought you were going to say it reminds you of BS.
No.
Okay.
Ever since he launched his business in 1996, Richard has been working around phones, computers, and Wi-Fi signals on a regular basis, and he believes the constant exposure to technology has taken a toll on his health. Quote, due to an overexposure to the radiation from wireless technology, my health has declined to the point where I cannot continue with the business, and I have spent my life building, he says. I wake up 5 or 6 times a night, my joints were aching, I have headaches during the day, and my memory was awful. And I have joints during the day.
is that to help him with all the pain he's had?
And my memory was awful. I felt atrocious, and I had no idea why. I had to rely on staff for the past 18 months since becoming EHS. I have persevered battling with electrohypersensitivity for as long as I can. Anybody buy into this?
No.
Probably not.
The fact that it was in Better Call Saul and now this news story comes out makes me wonder if this is an actual real thing, but we need hard science.
Yeah.
A blind taste test, or not a taste test, but a blind test where you walk in and maybe the person's holding a flashlight with a battery in it and maybe not. So,
like a placebo thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Lay down in this tube, and then, we'll just say they're going to expose you to some electromagnetic waves and either do or don't and see what happens.
Yeah. If it's legit, I feel totally sorry for these people who have to live in our society with this.
Well, hey, on Wikipedia, it says electromagnetic hypersensitivity is a proposed pathological sensitivity. There is no scientific basis for it.
Yet.
Yeah, yet.
I mean, because you're bombarded with stuff from space all day long.
If it's his business, I feel really sorry for him because he's worked so hard to build this. And
What I'm saying is, wait a minute, you're bombarded with stuff all day long besides just having routers and stuff around you. So
absolutely.
Out in the street, you're going to be hit by something. So I don't know. I'm not entirely sure I buy it, but he's obviously feeling something. So anyway,
that's too bad.
It's probably because his family wants him to fix their Windows machines. It's affecting my health. I'm out of here.
Yeah, those are definitely all symptoms of stress. And if he's saying that it's because if he's making a point that it's his business that he's built up and now he can't do it anymore, then that's a great case for disability. And so that might be why he's going that route instead of actually finding
the... So he's got to pay himself disability?
Wait a minute.
Who's winning here?
Is he in the U.S.? Because if he's not in the U.S., then none of our understanding of how disability works applies.
Happen to have an in-store, in-studio specialist about the
was an
national
story. Health system. I'm sorry.
Van fell asleep.
Hello? Yeah.
The sign on the wall looked like, didn't that look like German to you or Finnish or something?
No,
did it say where the store was?
Worcestershire.
That's the place. Oh,
I think you would
have a
hard time trying to claim disability with that unless you had some proof. So
So the NHS isn't going to cover that.
Well, it wouldn't put them on disability. You'd have to.
Okay. Yeah. Bummer. Well, I feel sorry for the poor man. Mm. All right,
he's obviously feeling something. I don't know what it is.
You know how I have this theory about light bulbs in my house. Switching gears, we'll go to the Remember When segment. Do we have the actual Remember When music in here? Yes, we do. It's time for Remember When.
Accent Stray story.
Did I miss a story?
Uh huh.
Oh yes. Okay. Well,
about
stop
Richard
the music.
It's blood.
Remember when you were telling a story?
I was telling a story. I don't remember anything. I have joints during the day. I mean, my joints hurt. Anybody want to read this short story for me? Cynthia,
I haven't read yet.
Go for it, Cynthia.
Earlier this week, famed Ultima developer Richard Lord British Garriott made a splash by putting an artful reliquary containing his actual blood up for sale on eBay.
Ooh. Oh.
The listing is now gone, most likely due to eBay's strict don't sell blood policy. Promoting and raising money for his crowdfunded RPG. Is that Shroud of the Avatar? Garriott and producer Darkstar Long both had blood drawn in order to fill a dozen reliquaries crafted by artist Steve Rudniak. Those interested can see Lord British's blood being drawn in a video that developers posted on YouTube. The first two of these art pieces went up on auction site eBay Thursday afternoon. Each comes with a slew of special digital content for the game with a reserve price of $5,000.
Yeah, starting bid is $5,000. Craig, we were standing right next to him for a couple of pictures. We could have just
poked him and took the blood.
Right.
Walk up with the pin, just prick his finger.
Hold him
down,
Chuck.
Thinking more of a stabbing, but okay. He's Lord British, long sword.
Yes.
Wow. Well, you'd think people would know what eBay's policy is, but if you don't, you're not allowed to pay.
Well, say down below, they talk about the things you're not supposed to have.
Prohibited items include, but are not limited to, Native American grave-related items, including skull skeletons intended for medical research. I think that would be off limits. Tibetan prayer skulls, organs, bones, blood, waste products, body fluids, sperm, eggs, any of these items included as a gift, prize, or giveaway in connection with another item listed on eBay. I don't see children on here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Fair game.
You have the elements, sperm, eggs, body fluids.
Right. They didn't say the final product.
Well, no. Would that consider? Wouldn't a child actually be considered a container? Those products, like technically, because it contains blood.
Is a child a waste product?
No. But it does contain blood and other bodily fluids, so I think
I see where you're going with that.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks, Mighty Mommy. Now can we play the Remember When song? Yay!
Yeah, now you can.
All right, we have to talk over it because I think this is copyrighted music and we've been stopped a couple of times before on YouTube by saying, hey, you can't play that. Well, I don't know about you, but I have this theory about light bulbs in my house that they all can't work at the same time. The minute you get them all working at the same time, another one goes out somewhere in the house. So you have to have like N-1 light bulbs running, which makes me think maybe I just need an outlet on the wall that's not wired to anything so then I can fool this theory. Did anybody else notice that in their house? Mm-hmm. It's somewhere in the house, there's always a light bulb burned out. And it can be burned out for like a year. And as soon as you replace it...
Everybody in my house wants to turn all the light bulbs on. So no, I disagree. I've seen them all on.
Thanks, Dad.
I've had that experience as well.
Well, whatever this light bulb is made out of, I want one. The centennial bulb has been burning for 115 years. It has gone through two world wars, the development of the atomic bomb, a moon landing, 25 different Zelda games, which I think is an interesting milestone marker in my head.
Sure.
And a lot more. How many Rocky movies and Jason the Third Friday the 13th movies have there been?
I think they didn't mention the Pokemon Go.
Oh, we're getting to that. Okay. That's going to be our Patreon discussion tonight. When you think that the current incandescent bulbs run for about 1,000 hours and this one has been going for over 1 million, it's kind of depressing. And all thanks to the Phoebus Cartel. The cartel is an important step in the history of the global economy because it engaged in large-scale planned obsolescence. It reduced competition in the light bulb industry for almost 15 years and has been accused of preventing technological advances that would have produced longer-lasting light bulbs. The cartel was a convenient way to lower costs and worked to standardize the life expectancy of the bulbs to 1,000 hours, while at the same time raising prices without fear of competition. Members' bulbs were regularly tested, and fines were levied for bulbs that lasted more than 1,000 hours. We should have kept making these.
Now, this is the same one that's burning in the firehouse.
It is the firehouse light bulb. Yes. Is San Francisco, if I remember?
Yes. Yeah, we talked about this a long time ago.
Is it because it's never switched off?
Exactly. That's part of it. The stress on a light bulb's filament is the heating and cooling and heating and cooling. And this one has just remained on, which 115 years.
I'm surprised they kept power that long.
115 years. It must have made it through the earthquake if it's in San Francisco.
That's right.
I mean, how would you keep the power on or something like that?
Firehouse generator?
Good question. That would explain it. Yeah.
Probably has some sort of generator, which may have not been original equipment. And you know what? I'm sensing a road trip.
The light bulb? Okay. Let's go.
Ask questions. That's
what we better get another Patreoner.
Or
we can take our hot air balloon to San Francisco.
Not really. The prevailing westerlies will blow us to Kansas.
Yeah.
So no hot air balloon meetup to see the light bulb.
I'm down with that. Let's go. Let's do it.
Nice segue to the patrons, though. We have our awesome patron music. This is the part of the show where we thank our patrons for contributing. We have Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, and Nick St. Gabriel. We've also noticed we've lost a couple of our PayPal tip jar donors on a monthly basis. Some of them have converted to Patreon people. Thank you very much.
What did we do?
I don't know. They just have lost. We've lost our shine. I don't know.
Hey, they just fixed the glitch. We're still paying Technorama?
If you want to be a Patreon. They finally discovered. It's kind of like, my gosh. That's where that dollar a month is going.
What? When I reconcile, I'm off a dollar every month.
And then they figure, that's not worth it. If you want to be a Patreon member, go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We would love to include you on this list. You enable us to do things like our trip to the Lowell Observatory last month, and our Patreon members get exclusive content available nowhere else on the internet. This week's Patreon topic is going to be Pokemon Go, like you said before. So we're going to have a quick discussion about that with the people in the studio. You get that before the regular show comes out. We love you. Thank you very much. Did I miss anything, Craig?
No.
Okay, good. Good. Then let's move on. Let's go to the... Where are we going? Media Corner. Got to stop the music.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Anybody? Anybody want the Russian... Craig, you haven't read yet. Read about Russian Batman.
Okay, why not?
From one of our favorite sites, Oddity Central.
Yeah, Oddity Central. About a month ago, a Russian vigilante wearing a Batman costume declared war on drug dealers doing business in the Kamiki.
Excellent pronunciation.
All right. Outside of Moscow. So far, he claims to have captured up to 40 criminals, or around 40 criminals. It all started at the beginning of June when a taxi driver witnessed a man dressed as Batman entering a building and later proved to be a drug den in the middle of the night.
I love that picture, joints. By the way.
He was getting joints.
That's the best we got of the Russian Batman.
he was picking up his order of joints. He told police that he soon started hearing people screaming and things were being thrown around inside. The mysterious man walked out, threw some sort of firebomb on the ground, and disappeared in the shadows.
Wow.
A few minutes later, law enforcement arrived on the scene, entered the building, walked out with two men in handcuffs. The witnesses identified as Slava and
Saliva.
Slava. Anyway, and the men were pretty beat up pretty badly. So Russian newspaper started. I'm skipping that.
Moskovy's Komsomolets.
Yeah, something like that. Started a journalistic investigation and recently announced that it is on possession of a letter sent by the masked vigilante to police in Kahimiki.
Drink some water, you get rid of that hiccup.
No, sounds like a place off the Florida Keys or something. Let's go down there.
Or Hawaii.
Or Kahimiki. Yeah. He was in Greece.
Yeah.
Kahimiki, hola, 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 hola.
Mickey, like, yai, Mickey, liney, ho. Anyway.
Thank you, Jambi.
That's where I was going with that. Anyway, he declares his one-man war on local criminals and drug dealers, referring to himself as Reaper, humanity's first superhero. I don't know about that.
Dick with Batman.
Yeah, I know.
What's he drive around, a Reaper van?
Yeah. The man also asked police to help him root out evil by sending him tips via social media. Can you just tweet me? Tweet me, I'll be there.
I got a like on Facebook.
Yeah. He says, you don't know me, and it's unlikely you've ever heard of me, Reaper says in the letter. I call myself Reaper, as he just stated, and for the past 6 months, I've been struggling with the disease that has long been plaguing our society, crime.
You have to say it like Batman. And a Russian Batman.
I fight drug dealers, rapists, and gangs.
No,
yeah. I fight drug dealers, face rapists, and gangs.
He doesn't kill or cripple. He's not against the police or authorities, but I do root out the evil that police and authorities can't reach.
What's with the picture of Rorschach? That's what I'm not sure of.
I don't know.
So. And it's in Russian.
Yes, it is.
Hey, I'm going to see if I can translate it real quick.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's a picture.
It says, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. No, wait, that was yesterday's game. Bit me. I can't read Russian or Cyrillic for anything. Well, good to know we have a Russian Batman.
That's right.
Now, we have shown you... We've shown floppy drive music on this show before and heard floppy drive music. You've all heard of that?
Absolutely.
We've seen two floppy drives. We've seen four floppy drives. We've even seen up to eight. Well, now there's the Floppatron. 64 floppy drives, two scanners, and eight hard drives. It is a masterpiece and probably way more money than I'll ever spend. But the music is sweet. Okay, this is the A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. Then Pavel Zorniak, who posted this video. See, I get the Russian names too. He goes and puts all his floppies in there, fires this baby up. Listen to the music. Scanners
and everything. Wow.
Full eight-part chorus.
With all the orchestral parts, yeah. And all the harmony parts, too.
Uh-huh. You know, when my hard drive or floppy drive even made the funniest noise, like,
Yeah, no.
It was a sign something was going wrong.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Back up your data, quick. You know, that's the thing about solid state drives. You just can't make them make music like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you heard your hard drive clicking like that, it was a bad day.
It's called the click of death among PC technicians.
Amy should know.
I'm not a PC technician. I do technical support for networks, but I read
I do play one on TV. So, thoroughly impressive. I want to know how much this costs. Maybe we'll talk to this guy. 511 views on YouTube so far. I'm probably responsible for about, 511,000 and 24. I'm responsible for the last 24. I love how they end with shave and a haircut.
That's nice.
John Williams would love it. That is from the Media Corner. We also have the Geek Library, but Geek Library, I guess we do have a Geek Library. Yes, I forgot we put
you're
in a Geek Library song
time.
Recently. No, I don't skip it every time.
No, I think you're skipping everything.
Did I skip something again?
Well,
No. You're once per show. It's like a shirt per meal. Somebody ruins a shirt every meal. That's the new rule we heard from Brian Brown. And pretty much true. One of the most surprising things about the Apollo 11 guidance computer source code isn't just the sheer size of it, but rather the amount of in-jokes that scientists include with it. While the code for the command and lunar modules has been available online since 2003, technical research, Ron Berkey transcribed every line of code by hand from the original transcripts. You see that stack of paper the lady's standing next to? This man has no life. The code was recently put up on GitHub this past week, previous to this show. Former NASA intern Chris Geary uploaded the files on Thursday and has become a popular place for coders and space buffs to joke along with the scientists from the 1960s. How cool would that be if you were working on this in the 60s and suddenly you saw your source code in real life on your computer? Just fascinating.
I tried to look through it because I was curious what it looked like.
It's a special assembly language that NASA came up with for their own.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes aren't just for programmers either. One of the immediate ones that stood out was burn_baby_burn_master_ignition_routine.s. That's the file name.
Yeah.
Burn baby burn. Master ignition routine. Which contains some handy reference notes. And if you look close. That's great. Further down in the code is one polite, welcoming programmer. Hello there. These are the comments next to the assembly. Go. Hello there. For generalized routine to other banks, subroutine to check PGC NCS control. You get a little further down. It says, yes, check for auto throttle mode. In auto throttle mode, return. Goodbye. Come again soon. That's how he returns from a function, I guess.
Yeah.
I am so glad to know I'm not the only one who writes comments like this. I have comments like, are we there yet? Yes, we are. Hey, they took one out. Oh, I must have pulled these from a different site. There is one that's on the screen right now. It says one programmer put in some code that he hoped would truly be temporary. There's a call that says TC, Bank call. Comment says, temporary, I hope, hope, hope. The next line of code at one, line 180, CADR. Stop rate, temporary, I hope, hope, hope. Well, permanently became a permanent fix for the code. I've been known to put in comments in my code to say, I don't know how this works. Don't touch it. You may break it. Craig, you got some good code stories?
Some good code stories?
Have you put in any weird comments, or is it just me and NASA at this point laughing?
No. I put some good ones in. I'm trying to think of some. I've done it before just to see if anybody would find it. Usually, unfortunately, I'm usually the only one that looks at my own code. So,
having an illustrious career of 22 years at my last company, I'm sure there's some great old stuff that I left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Write some code script? A lot of shaking heads in here. Okay, then let's move on.
I haven't written code since I was like 13, so it didn't look like that.
Yeah, it's time to pick it back up. I've only ever done it for class.
I like wrote basic on a TRS-80 Model 1.
You mean like that Apple II over there?
Oh my. Yeah, I haven't done it since then.
We can help get you up to speed on that.
Hello world doesn't really count, you know.
Yeah.
I can do Python a very little bit. I've taken one class in it.
Sweet.
I like Python.
Monty Python?
That too.
I was just going to say the same thing. That too.
Can we write a script in Monty Python? Run away! That's how you return from a function call.
If you go to the Python modules on Code Academy or Codecademy, they own both variants of the domain name.
Yeah, I noticed .com. That.
It is crammed with every Monty Python joke and reference they could possibly think of.
I never drilled down there. I'm usually in the HTML or the JavaScript sections, but I never went down into Python. I have to look for that now.
It's hilarious.
All right, a final comment is Dog Days of Podcasting is coming back soon. Anyone not familiar with Dog Days of Podcasting?
Told me about it last night.
I am. Amy stoked. All right, Dog Days of Podcasting for you, listener, who may not be familiar with it, when did you start that, Craig? 2011? Is this year number 6?
It was like 11 or...
I think it was...
I'm trying to remember. I've got on the website.
I think it was 11.
I got 2012 participants on the site, so I think it might have been 11.
It is a challenge for the month of August, roughly 30 days for 30 podcasts. Your challenge is to make a podcast a day. It doesn't have to be highly polished or produced. It could be just talking into your phone and post it. There are applications now that make this so easy, and we can certainly help you with that. We want to hear from you and capture that old spirit of podcasting when it was like 30 people in the world making a podcast, and everybody knew who each podcast was, and you get this personal relationship with the person you're listening to. It's very entertaining. It's gotten a little bigger over the last few years, so it's very hard to listen to all of them now.
Yeah.
Especially when some of them are more than a few minutes. We'll say 20 or 30 or 60 minutes.
It kind of flipped itself where it's not the challenge isn't so much as making the podcast 30 days, everyone for 30 days. Listening to them all.
That's a good challenge.
Yeah.
By the way, I am in. I am definitely in for Dog Days of Podcasting. Probably. I will mostly talk about movies and cosplay.
Love to hear about it.
Go to the website and sign up.
I will.
I'll have your feed in the mix.
Tell us, originator, where is the podcast, Craig?
If you go to Dog Days of Podcasting, there's a sign up link at the in the menu and on the page right on the front page of the site. Let me try and get that out of there. And off to the right is a subscription link. So if you subscribe to that,
it's a master feed of all the shows.
It's a master feed. August 4th, it'll start spewing out everybody's shows, you know, and kind of combine them all into one big master feed.
And then what often happens is we get to Dragon Con and we have kind of a closing ceremony.
Yeah.
So we can do like 10 shows at once because all 10 of us are around one table. We can get them all done at once.
Awesome. Although, unfortunately, I will not be there until September 2nd. But if you still do
whatever
you do.
Yeah.
I am definitely in for that, too.
You're going to be at Dragon Con?
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's the day it's over. That's the last day.
She's going to be marching in the parade right in front of us. She's going to be a Jedi.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Okay, great.
When is Dragon Con this year?
Labor Day weekend, which is the
first, the second.
First full weekend.
First, second, third, fourth? Or is it the second, third? I can't remember.
It starts on the second.
I have yet to attend a Dragon Con, sadly.
Oh.
I know.
Because I know this because I know I took the, I think I took the second and third off of work.
I did. Yeah. Usually I take Thursday, Friday off.
Or whatever. I know I'm leaving work at noon on Friday, which I know is a day in September. It's either the second or third.
It's a day in September.
But anyway, it's not in August.
The 16th or the 21st, but it's a day.
What I meant was I know it's not in August. So by the time we get to Dragon Con, August will technically be over.
Yes. You are technically correct.
But we're still doing the Dog Days of Podcasting wrap-up. Maybe, I mean, I know your calendar is crammed already.
Oh, no, we're very formulaic about our Dragon Con calendar. Oh, okay. It's not terribly complex to figure out. We have a live show, a parade, the Parsec Awards, and the Dog Days wrap-up.
Sweet. Hey, I will be
Cook
there.
Cook and I are not overly complicated to begin with.
We don't need a Dragon Con app because we don't see anything else. It's the same every year. Our Dragon Con app is like written on the back of a cocktail napkin.
Right.
So hope to see you there. If anybody else is interested in Dog Days of Podcasting, that would be great.
Yes.
Our question of the week before we let you go, what was the last book you read or listened to? Call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. We want to hear. It's time you update us. I think we did this about 6 months or a year ago. It's time. Want to go around the room real quick?
Sure. I actually pulled mine up because I saw the question.
Nah.
Cheater. The Mad Scientist's Guide to World Domination, the original short fiction for the modern evil genius. The editor is John Joseph Adams. It's short stories presented by like Diana Gabaldon, Naomi Novik, Austin Grossman, Shannon McGuire. So it's 22 storytellers, all short stories.
Oh, neat.
All related to mad scientists in some world. So some of the better ones, my favorite one was a story told from the daughters of Jekyll and Hyde and Frankenstein's point of view. And they were together in a house and trying to succeed in the world.
All right. Did you listen or did you read?
I listened.
All right. Amy, any thoughts?
I'm currently about 75% of the way through the novelization of Star Wars The Force Awakens, and about 10% of the way through the novelization of, well, it's not a novelization, it's a novel, Bloodline, which is events that took place approximately 6 years prior to the events of The Force Awakens.
Cat paw under the door.
Yeah, that's what we're all laughing at. I'm trying to remember what was the last book I actually finished, and I...
Oh, you're like me!
Yes, I am. I have a to-read pile and list a mile long. It was the last one I think that I finished was the last book, not the last book, one of the books in the... Aubrey Maturin Master and Commander series, which I am slowly working my way through. And yes, I am reading all of these, not listening to them, and almost entirely through the Kindle app for iPod.
Okay.
It's the most convenient way.
Van, any thoughts?
Agent of the Stars by John Scalzi. I listened to it a while
ago.
It was read by Will Wheaton, and he did a really
another good, Will Wheaton narration.
He did a really good job. I really enjoyed it. So, yep, I really enjoyed it.
Agent in the Stars?
Agent to the Stars.
Agent to the Stars,
yeah.
All right, that's going on my Audible list right away. CJ.
So, okay, well, normally I'm reading all kinds of things. I am reading all kinds of things, but I actually did just sit down and read and became obsessed with Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar. So now I've watched like every movie I could find about it, every story about Sylvia Plath. Like I'm like literally obsessed with her and her suicide and all of the stories that go around it. I know it's a really old book. So after I finished reading it, because it was so incredibly depressing, I'm now reading a book called 10% Happier by Dan Harris, or How to Be 10% Happier, because I thought it would be a nice contradiction to... Because I was like literally obsessed with Sylvia Plath after I read The Bell Jar.
That's also a good book. I read...
It's fascinating. Which one? Both of them?
The Dan Harris.
Oh, the Dan Harris book, yeah.
Just don't go over the 10%.
Don't. I don't know if anyone's ready for me to be 10% happier.
You need like 10% off.
And right before that, though, I read Me Before You because the movie just came out. The Me Before You movie with Daenerys Targaryen.
Mm. Oh.
Do you not know her name? Do you not know her actual name?
Her name is
Amelia.
And it's Clark. Amelia Clark. Yes.
Oh, very good. I don't think I could have pulled that one out of my hat. As the credits go by, I can on Game of Thrones, I can only name like a third of the characters to the actors. Like, which one was Bran? I don't know. Anyway, Craig.
Book? Sherlock. I've been working my way through Sherlock again.
Sherlock as in?
Collective series?
Holmes.
The Benedict Cumberbatch special on Netflix.
No, the Arthur Conan Doyle stuff. Original stuff.
Okay, the original stuff. Any particular book or story you're on at the moment?
It's actually on the Kindle. It's a collection. It has all the short stories and the novels. So, cool. I'm just kind of reading them all, just going through the whole thing.
Those are really fun to read.
Mm-hmm. They are, and they're great. But even it's amazing how old they are.
They don't
how old
age.
They are.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, there's a word here and there. You go, huh? Oh, I gotcha. You know, but yeah, they're pretty timeless. They work.
Cool. Well, I just finished reading Ghost in the Wire, Kevin Mitnick's story, which I thought was very fascinating. It does have a geek slant. They don't dumb it down for you too often. Every once in a while, they do come around and explain some technical stuff. But it's fun because at least half of what he did wasn't even technical. It was just social engineering. And he did it so well that that's kind of what led to his demise. But now, of course, we all know that he's a security specialist. So he's turned his people pay him to do what he loves to do, which is what we all wish we could do. Some of us do. So our question for your dear listener is, what was the last book you read or listened to? We want to hear from you again. Technorama@chuckchat.com. Call us on the listener line if you're in the U.S., 707-530-2428. You can send us an MP3 file to that email address as well. Or tweet us, find us on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. Before we sign out, anybody still have an online presence or handle or Facebook or anything they want to share? Where can they find you, Amy?
Sure. I own ameliabowen.com. There's not a whole lot there, but that's almost certainly my feed for Dog Days of Podcasting is going to be set up there.
All right.
At Amy Bowen on Twitter. Not that I post very much. I think those are the two big ones that I'd want to know about.
Cynthia?
I don't have one of my own, but you can always find us at jackmingan.com.
That's true. Yes. Thank you for
this
saying.
This is the deadpan crowd.
That's right.
Same for Cynthia. Can I just say that if anyone in England listens to this, they're going to persecute me for how I pronounce Worcester.
Why don't we just change the town name? To like bloom.
Hey, I got news for you. You're in good company here.
Good thing you didn't end up on this day in history.
If we change the town name, do we have to change the name of the sauce as well?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Bloom it's sauce.
Bloom sauce.
CJ?
Wow. So I work in social media. So you can find me on Twitter at CJPHX, tweeting about GoDaddy because that's where I work. I'll be at Blogher in August 4th through 6th. I don't know if you have any listeners who would be attending Blogher. Blogher is a gigantic event surrounding experts in blogging and new businesses and all kinds of, it's amazing. Just check it out. Blogher. It's blogher.com. So it's supporting women and their blogging efforts.
Now you're a local.
I am.
In Mesa. Mm-hmm. So we expect to see you here occasionally. Again,
I can do that anytime.
Good. Absolutely. We're going to put you on the Technorama host private group on Facebook. So you get the announcements of when we're doing a show and when we're not.
And I have one more thing that your listeners may enjoy.
Yes.
So I have a website. It's twinklergirl.com. And if you go there, I don't believe in the elf on the shelf. So in December, I did naked Justin Bieber photos. So I have a naked Justin Bieber doll, and he is my elf on the shelf. We just have naked Justin Bieber on the shelf. So I highly recommend that you go to twinklergirl.com. and check out Naked Justin Bieber.
And I can say the photos are fantastic.
They are. And don't Google it. Like, literally, just go to the website. Like, I don't recommend Googling Naked Justin Bieber. I recommend going directly to twinklergirl.com.
Wow. All right.
Does anybody else... Does anybody else watch Grant's Advent Calendar at Christmas time?
No. Grant's Advent Calendar?
Awesome. Every day in the month of December, he does a small video podcast. And this last year, he did Elf on the Shelf. And it is a great series to watch. Because on day one, he comes in and he does something. And he's like, oh my gosh, there's an elf. And he beats it up. And then, you know, day two, he's kind of taking care of the elf to nurse it back to health. And by the end of the month, they're best buddies. And they're unwrapping, they're opening the Advent Calendar. And just thinking about somebody walking up and beating up naked Justin Bieber on the shelf is, I'm sorry, my mind just crossed two things, and Grant's Advent Calendar is a lot of fun. All right. On that note, we're going to sign out. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. It's been a lot of fun. Hope to see you again sometime soon. There are deadpan meetups annually, as I understand.
Yeah,
annually,
yeah.
Just about. Right,
I'm going to keep tabs on those and see if we can make one of those.
Now that Jack's married, he's got plenty of time to bring the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Myth.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
This was sort of a last-minute thrown-together thing. I went, oh, you know what? When we were at the reception, I should have asked people if they wanted to come over for the podcast. So I threw it on the wedding site. Jack and Tiffany didn't seem to mind, but I said, nope. Hey, open invitation, and people took us up on it. So thank you very much. And we always encourage our listeners to tell a friend about Technorama. Until then, Craig is going to sign us off with a binary high five, right?
Right. I'm going to do it like the Russian Batman.
101.
That wasn't Russian.
Did you take that? Yeah.